Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. That's Hashem BPM number 89. That's Bais Pnimi Shir for Men, Shir number 89. We talked about someone, a pursuer, that basically uses a sideway attempt to get their needs met by criticizing. By criticizing and by focusing what they don't have to get their wife's attention. And instead, what they need to do is to honestly express their needs. There's another type of method which distancers use, and that's not the fight response that we talked about, which is to criticize and yell, but now comes the withdrawal, the flight response. Withdrawal is another way of dealing with the fear of asking what you want, the fear of letting others know, or your wife know, how you feel. And a distancer, if you are one, then you're an expert at withdrawing from the relationship. You withdraw into work, like you draw into watching a show, you withdraw into your hobbies, you withdraw into your computers, your other activities, into reading and staying busy, even the learning used as a tactic, while all the time they long for connection. One distancer once said, "I love it when my grown children come to visit, because I like sitting in the next room listening to them talk." So they also need connection, just as much as pursuers do. On the surface, it doesn't look like that. It looks like they're cold and they're separate, but they crave the connection. They enjoy being pursued because they desire the connection. They just can't get themselves to actually actively connect. So if you are a distancer, usually they're introverts or withdrawn, they don't like to ask people for things. They stay at arm's length until they get the other person to approach you. Okay, distancers withdraw even further. Sometimes they pout. Sometimes they storm around when they believe their needs are not going to be met. And your wife is left in the dark. They don't know how they may have contributed to the disappointment or how to help. Sometimes the distancer in withdrawal assumes that if you really love me, you'll know what I want. You know, you husbands listening sometimes feel your wives do this a lot. They withdraw and they pout and you don't know what they're upset about. But we often are guilty of it ourselves. We don't express it. If you love me, you would know what I want. That's rarely true. Love doesn't mean that you're a mind reader. That's something that you need to remember. Love doesn't equal mind reading. Just because they don't know what you want doesn't mean they love you. It means you didn't communicate it well enough. Distancers are hypersensitive to criticism. That's something you need to learn too. Your wife may be critical, okay, that she should do a better job at couching her words, but the hypersensitivity is something we have to be careful of. Distancers don't like to be criticized. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be seen as inadequate. And usually at the first hint of any type of disapproval, they will disappear, they will get angry. And if you recognize yourself as a distancer, the discovery process will include finding a way for you to speak up and express yourself in a healthy way, whether in a note, in an email, in a phone conversation, or even better, face to face. And then ask what you want in a kind manner, in a respectful manner, and that will help you and your wife design a relationship that you long for and will bring you closer together. Some people gather information, just like we talked about in the last year, that people gather information and they get what they want through criticism. That's with pursuers. With distancers, they gather information from being defensive. So here's a guy who's a CPA, works 60 hours a week and nights, comes home exhausted, and he comes home, and the first thing he's expecting a quiet night at home with his wife. And his three kids are doing everything but what they're supposed to be doing. And one day he pulled in, he almost ran over a bicycle and he tripped over the kid's backpack and he walked through the front door and another kid was running around the house naked and he yells loud, "Oh, how high you are. Don't tati me," or whatever it is. "Where's your mother? I'm right here. What are you yelling about? Why can't you control these kids? This place is like a zoo." And she right back says, "Don't start up with us here." Said, "Didn't I tell you to pick up your backpack? Get over here right now." And then the whole World War III happens. And the defensiveness, he was wrong to go on that rampage that he just did. But her defensiveness and the family's defensiveness, that created more. Like, you want to fight? Yeah, you're on. We're going to fight. And it's sad. It's sad when these things happen. Blood pressure goes up, and heart rate goes up, and so much aggravation and ridicule, and no one wins. The relationship loses. So this criticism and defensiveness between in this couple, as described, affected the entire family. Everyone has stress hormones that are released there. It's not a healthy thing. You see, very often when someone has anger, one method is to get it all out, but usually that does not work. In some cases, in a private setting, maybe, but generally speaking, anger begets more anger. The more angry you become, the more you get angry, the more unreasonable you become, the more rude you are. And it's important, not like in the case we just described, that when you express your disappointment or frustration, to figure out how to do it without the yelling, without the criticizing, without the becoming defensive, just to speak your mind with a confidence, and you'll get more respect and a more satisfying response. Defensiveness can be a response to an attack, but it comes from a hopelessness. Basically, you're saying, I'll never be able to please my husband or wife. It's impossible. So I'm just going to back off or be defensive about it and protect myself that way. One of the worst things that you can do is to gather information from a contempt. Contempt is the ultimate form of disrespect. Whether the contempt comes in the form of name calling, or sarcasm, or ignoring, or putting a whole crime sheet that's a whole list of your wife's faults, these forms of contempt will not satisfy you, will not satisfy your wife in the long run, will just cause agmas nefesh over agmas nefesh. There's a wife here who had a particular harmful habit of criticizing her husband in front of her friends, and she cannot connect her behavior and his withholding of affection. And she resented that he withheld affection. Went to therapy, and the husband acknowledged, look, I'm humiliated when you criticize me in front of your friends. For the past 2 years, the wife was angry with the husband because he showed her no affection and no support. But it took her quite a while to understand that she too was withholding and she was contemptuous of him. So they each focused on what was best regarding their relationship, on taking till now not responsibility or on one another at all. Well, finally, when they took responsibility, when they realized their pattern and recognized their own ownership of their own individual styles of the way they were punishing each other, they had to work through that before they moved to a place where they could love and connect. So any act of disdain, any act of unkindness creates a negative attitude about your wife and takes away from the relationship satisfaction. Respect is the opposite of contempt. Holding your wife in esteem, in high value, that heals things. One of the hardest things to undo, but we have to learn how to undo it, is what we call a frozen image. That's the ultimate form of contempt. What does that mean? That means, yes, there will be times when your wife will fall short from your expectation. But the problem is you have a frozen image of your wife. You basically fixed a negative image that you're not willing to change based on new information or the possibility that a human being can change. You see when you have positive behaviors, your wife will respond more positively, but you still want to stick to the old image of that negative mindset of her. And you're not willing to update the image to make the relationship more fresh and more alive. That is a problem. That is a major, major problem. you have a situation that's fascinating, that where a husband, there was a publisher's, there was a schedule, and the husband canceled a trip to Europe to accommodate an appointment with his wife to go somewhere. And they came to the appointment, and the husband came in a few minutes later carrying a coffee in. And this is the author talking now. It says, how can it be of health? And without looking at the husband, the wife said, our biggest problem is my husband doesn't care about our relationship. He does not care about our relationship. Now, she looked at the husband, expecting a response. She just looked down at the floor. But she asked the wife, let me see if I got this straight. He said to the husband, husband, you know, you were the one who tracked me down through a publisher, right? Right. You scheduled an appointment, right? Yes. You canceled your trip to Europe to make this appointment, did you? Yes. You made the bed and breakfast accommodation, did you? Yes. So then she turned to the wife, who was drinking her coffee, and said, I'm confused. You're telling me this is the guy who doesn't care about your relationship? He canceled his trip to Europe. He arranged everything to be here. But again, she had this frozen image of her husband. He doesn't care. Now, in reality, a lot of times these frozen images come from the past. If, let's say, in this case, it was where the wife's father was a very cold, distant person, so the wife, in her mind, kept that frozen image so that even when her husband was much warmer than her cold, distant father, it doesn't register with her. She connects this male, her husband, to the other male, her father, who was cold and distant. So she saw men as uncaring, as a fixed thing. And no matter how much caring her husband may have shown, that caring didn't make a difference. Or he saw women as unaccepting because his mother was that way, perhaps. Or his sister was that way, perhaps. But his wife isn't, but you're stuck in that frozen image. Very often we do that in marriage. Men are like this, and so my husband is like that. Women are like that, so my wife is like that. A woman's need in relationship is this and this. They always are doing needy and clingy and kvetchy. So you paste that definition on your wife, even though she may not be like that, or very little like that. Same thing with the man. The man is selfish, self-centered, always interested in sex and all that stuff. One-track minded. In the meantime, your husband is not like that at all. Men always do this, and you assume your husband does that. Women always do that, and you assume your wife does that. And so on and so forth. You have these preconceived notions, and you just simply get stuck in that pattern of that frozen concept. That frozen concept in your brain that didn't change. And that's very, very important, because then what you're doing is each one is bringing a set of negative expectations into their marriage based on prior resentments, prior loneliness from childhood, from teenage years, that have nothing to do with the current marriage. And the present stuff in the current marriage, if you just focus on that, it's fixable, it's workable, it's doable. So tips for dealing with this is instead of criticizing, ask what you want. How could I help? You find yourself getting defensive, stop. Start over. Call a time out. Apologize. When one of them withdraws, give them some time and space, and give them their space, and then approach them later. Are you ready to talk? If there's contempt between the two of you, notice that and recognize, put the stop sign. That has to stop. I'm going to, from now on, be kind and clear when I express my need. I'll be sensitive to my wife. I will rarely criticize my wife. I will be comfortable asking politely what I need. I will stop being so defensive. I will try to please my wife as best as I could, because I know, like we said many times, loving behaviors is what keep people together. Satisfied couples meet each other's needs in a positive way, and I'm going to start fulfilling my wife's needs. The smile, the spreading of joy, The idea being is that you really, if this is a joke, he brings it at the end of this chapter, every marriage is a bunch of remarriages, really, in reality. You know, I divorced and married my husband about 22, four times in the last 22 years. What they mean is we stuck together thick and thin. But we had different seasons in our marriage, different ups and downs in my marriage. And we had a low point. We didn't give up. We didn't give up. We didn't literally divorce. No, we renewed our relationship, sort of like a remarriage or renewal. Similar to what Ramea says of why every month going to the mikveh and renewing that is a new hischachus. You weren't that way when I married you. You're a new person. You keep the love alive by making the corrections that you need to make, by recognizing you change and you mischadish yourself all along and you renew yourself and you don't get stuck on a stubborn pattern of just labeling your wife a certain way and that is it. No. Build on the relationship. See the beauty and of the renewal. See different parts of the personality that you didn't see until now and let it grow and let it blossom. Bracha v'hatzlacha.